A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Kesubas Pei Hei, Kesubas 85A, pagination is 169. We are starting midway on the page. The first word on the line is Hahi. There's a little Dalid by it. And our topic is when sometimes the court has to make its best judgment and is not going to follow the strict halacha and protocol because they have or have to bring to the table their gut reaction, their best judgment. So the Gemara says a story. There was a story of a woman, who was obligated to make an oath in the Bezdin of Rava. And if she would make that oath, then she would be absolved. Amar lei bas Rav Chisda, the daughter of Rav Chisda, who was Rava's wife, told him, Yadanoba, I know about her, the Chashuda Ashavua, that she is suspect on making a false oath. Avcha Rava l'Shavua, based on his wife's advisement, Rava flipped the oath. And instead, Asheke Negda, he placed the oath on the person who wanted to extract the money from her, that he would take a Shavua, he would make an oath, and he would be able to take. In other words, the oath that was supposed to be made here was an oath of denial, and she would be off the hook. But he was advised that this woman can't do that. She's not trusted. And he trusted his wife's advice, and flipped the oath to the person who was claiming the money. Zimnin havu yasvi kamei Rav Papa of Rav Ada Bar Masna. There was a further story where Rav Papa and Rav Ada Bar Masna were in front of Rava. Aisu ahush tora gabei, and a certain document was presented for collection. Amalei Rav Papa, and Rav Papa said, Yadana be deshtara priyahu. I know that this document was already paid up. Why it's still roaming around and why they're trying to reuse it, I don't know. But I know it was paid up. Amalei. So Rava asked him, Ika ina shacharina bahadei demar, is there another person who can testify together with you that the document is no longer good? Amalei lo. He says, no, it's only me. I'm aware that it was paid up. Amalei, so Rava told him, Afagavdika mar, even though it is the master, it's a respectable person, but Eidechad lav kolumhu, what can I do? You know more than one witness, and I can't do anything in the case. Amalei, Ravada bar Masna, who apparently witnessed how Rava flipped the oath based on his wife's advisement, asked him, Velo yehi Rav Papa kevas Rav Chisda? Why can't Rav Papa have the same status as Rav Chisda's daughter, your wife, and cause you to act upon the advice that you're being given? And he answered, Rava answered, Bas Rav Chisda Kimli Bigava, I know the daughter of Rav Chisda implicitly. I know that she would never lie. I know that her words are accurate. And Marlo Kimli Bigave, as nice as you are, as special as you are, but you're coming as a witness. You're not someone that I know intimately the way I know my wife. Amar Rav Papa, Rav Papa said, Hashta da Amar Mar Kimli Bigave Milsahi. Now that I know that there's such a concept, that if you know someone intimately, you can take certain types of action based on that. Kigon Abba, like Abba de Kimli Bigave, that I know him very well, Karana Shtara Apume, I would be able to tear a document based on his say-so. If he told me that it's paid up or fraud, I'd be able to tear it up. Ask the Gemara, whoa, Karana Sakadaitach, you can't rip up a shtar. You can't rip up a document based on someone you trust, one person. You need two edim, two witnesses. Elamarana Shtara Apume, I could make it bad. And we need to pause here and appreciate what exactly is going on over here. And the answer is that if a person recognizes something that it's a din meruma, that it's trickery that's going on, even if the document looks good, and even if the witnesses are passing cross-examination, but if the dayan, the judge, senses, based on advisement that he trusts, or based on his gut feeling, based on his awareness, his cross-examination, he can't pinpoint it, he can't disprove it, but he knows he's dealing with a din meruma, a trick, then he's not allowed to paskin to obligate the money if he knows that the money is not really obligated. And therefore, there's a certain amount of liberty which the judge has to implement in the case based on the way he appreciates it. In the words of the Mechaber, Simen Tes Vav Sif Hei in Choshen Mishpat, Yesh L'dayin Lodun Dinei Mominis Al Pi Adav Vorim Shedaito Nota Lohem Shehim Emes. A judge is allowed to direct things in the direction that he knows is true. Hadavar Chozok Belibo, it's very firm in his heart. He recognizes what's going on. Shukach Af Al Pi She'ein Sham Raya Beruro, even though he doesn't have an absolute proof. In Sif Gimel, Hadayin Shebalafon of Din Sheyodeya Shehu Meruma, a judge who is brought a case which he knows is a trick. Lo Yomar, he's not allowed to say, Achatchenu, listen, I'll paskin based on the evidence. V'yihakulor betzavar ho'edim, and the noose, the sin, will be on the necks of the witnesses because they tricked me. But rather, he should cross-examine until he recognizes and is confident that it's a ramos, that it's a trick, in which case he will not paskin based on the trick which is being played. To the point that the Mechaber brings, Kishahaya roe ha-rosh ba'umdumna demuchach, when the rosh would notice with a very clear understanding Shahadin Miruma, that he's dealing with a trick, Hayakose v'nosen biyad ha-nitba, he would actually write up a document and give it to the person from whom the money is being claimed, She'ein l'shum dayin l'ishtadol b'din zeh, that no judge should touch this case because he recognized that it was a trick. So this is one example of when we call upon the judge to use his best judgment, even though in the strict legality of things, if we just were bureaucratic about it, a judgment might have been done differently, but the dayan is expected to be paying attention. On Amud Beis, we have some other interesting examples. We'll see what we have time for. The top line, Hahu Gavra, there was a case of a man, De Ifkid, Shev Marganisa, De Tzairi Bisadina, Be Rav Miyasha, Barbare, De Rav Yeshua Ben Levi. A person entrusted 7 gems wrapped in a cloth in the hands of a certain rabbi, Shachiv Rav Miyasha, and this Rav Miyasha, who was entrusted with it, died suddenly. V'lopokit, he didn't have a chance to give his last words to his family to let them know about this item that was entrusted to him. Also, l'kamei de Rav Ami, they came in front of Rav Ami for the court case to see if this person could retrieve the diamonds that he claimed he entrusted. Amale and Rav Ami used his best judgment. He said, Chada, number one, Diadana Bebe Rav Miyasha Barbare de Rav Yeshua Ben Levi de Lo Amid. I happen to know that this particular person was not wealthy. So it's not very mistaver. It doesn't make a lot of sense that he was hanging on to 7 diamonds. Now, that alone is not really enough, because could be he found them in a way that he was allowed to keep them, discarded somewhere. But the person who's asking for them back is able to give a sim, and he's able to identify that there's certain types of diamonds, and there's 7 of them, and they're wrapped there was enough of a simon over there that he was able to be confident that he's claiming something that's his. For lo amran, and we only can do this rule, ela de lo rogel de ayel v'nofik lahasam, that this person was not accustomed to hang out in the home of Rav Miasha. Avo rogel de ayel v'nofik lahasam, but if you'd have a case where the person was around, it could very well be that someone else entrusted it, and that person will eventually come someday, whenever it'll be. But either way, this is not the right person. He's only able to identify it because he saw it being entrusted. So you got to be very careful with how you use this estimation. But indeed, Rav Ami was able to use his best estimation to give it back to the person. Let's do one more, a little bit lower than halfway on the page. The end of the line, Hahuda Omar Lahu, there was a person who says, Nechasai Letuvya, my property should go to a person by the name of Tuvya. Shachiv, and then he died. Osu Tuvya, man called Tuvya came, Amar Rabbi Yechanan Areva Tuvya, good, the man Tuvya has come, let's give him the property. The Gemara continues and wonders, Omar Tuvya, if a person said, my property should go to Tuvya, va'osa Rav Tuvya, and a person by the name of Rav Tuvya came, so then Lituvya, you give it to Tuvya, because he said Tuvya, he didn't say Rav Tuvya. Again, Lituvya Omar, he said that it should go to Tuvya, Rav Tuvya lo Omar, he didn't say it should go to Rav Tuvya, so you give it to Tuvya. V'inish degayis bei, but if it's a person that he's very familiar with, so he would call him by his first name, he would call him Tuvya, even though to the rest of the world he's known as Rav Tuvya, hagayis bei, then that's indeed the way he might refer to him, and then it could go to Rav Tuvya, because that would make sense. And on the contrary, as the Gemara continues, Asu Shnei Tuvya, if two Tuvyas come, so if two Tuvyas come, we have to sort out. So Shachin v'Talmud Chacham, if there's a neighbor in a Talmud Chacham Kodem, then you would give it to the Talmud Chacham, because it makes sense at the end of life, the person wants to give his property to a Talmud Chacham, he wants the merit. Karov v'Talmud Chacham, a relative and a Talmud Chacham also, Talmud Chacham Kodem. The Torah scholar comes first. It makes sense. The person on his deathbed is looking for a merit. Iboi Luhu. They asked the question, Shachin v'karav mai. If you have a neighbor and a relative, which one of the Tuvyas would get priority? Tashma, there's a pasuk in Mishlei, Tov Shachin karav me'och rochok. Better a close neighbor than a far away relative. So if that's the case, then we would go with the neighbor. Shneim krovim, but if they're both relatives, ushneim shcheinim, they're both neighbors, shneim chachomim, they're both Torah scholars, the Gemara says, shuda dedaini, it would be up to the best judgment of the court to decide who the person, when he was passing away, truly meant. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.